I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 397. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of collaborating with two friends on a Facebook YouTube live session using the song I Will Trust My Savior Jesus by City Alight. I enjoyed the conversation with these brothers in Christ so much because we all come from different perspectives as we look at Christian music. Vince has a blog that compares lyrics to God's word to see if they're biblical. Dole has a podcast where he dives deep into the theology of what we sing and brings the knowledge of a song leader and a songwriter to the mix. And we all have a great passion for the Word of God, and we want to know Him more deeply and apply His truths more effectively in our lives and in our ministries. If you missed this discussion, I encourage you to check it out. I'll link to it in this week's show notes, or you can find it on YouTube by searching for Michelle Nezat TV. Now, in our discussion, I threw out how I would approach Scripture inspired by this song, I Will Trust My Savior Jesus by City Alight. So that's what we'll be doing on this week's podcast. But before we dive into Scripture, let's listen. As I mentioned on the live event, I was drawn to the word trust in this song, and so that's the direction I took. Now, Vince was drawn to surrender, and Joel was drawn to the bridge that declares why we can trust and surrender, the bridge of the song that declares the complete gift of salvation that is possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. All of it, such good stuff. Now, I chose Psalm 33 to dive into as I considered the idea of trusting God. And there's a couple of reasons for this. First of all, there are a couple of direct references to trust in this psalm, but there's a lot of references to trust all throughout Scripture. So the other reason is that I had been sitting in this psalm for a women's conference I spoke at recently. And I tell you this because you can follow this pattern too. Where are you reading in Scripture on your own? Maybe consider a topic to explore that comes out of that area of Scripture. It'll help you look at that area of Scripture in a whole new light. So exploring a topic is a BITE, by the way, a Bible Interaction Tool exercise that I use fairly regularly. And I'm actually going to walk you through looking at Psalm 33 in two ways. Now, I don't normally link my podcast episodes together. They're generally standalone, but I will be discussing Psalm 33 this week and next using two different songs and discovering two topics and responses from the same psalm. I think it'll be very interesting to look at it twice, two songs, two perspectives, two topics, same psalm. I think this is important because I'm reminded that God's word is living and active, and there's always more insight to dig up and more time to spend in His word. And even if you're familiar with the text, because you will be familiar with it, it's kind of a short psalm and you're going to sit in it for a couple of weeks, You're going to be a different person tomorrow than you are today. And the word will apply in new ways because of that. And what do I mean by that? Well, for example, before I became a mother, I read scripture one way from the perspective of a young woman or even as a child. Now, once I became a mother, I now read scripture in fresh ways because I'm different. My roles are different. My experiences are different. My perspectives are different. Hopefully, I'm more mature as I have applied God's truths to my life. And as far as the digging goes, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, "Cry out for insight, ask for understanding, search for them as you would for silver, seek them like hidden treasures." So when we approach scripture, crying out to God for insight, willing to do the work and proceeding with passion like we would if we were seeking hidden treasure, leaving no stone unturned, sparing no expense or effort, verse 5 says this, "Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain knowledge of God." Well, that's what I want. I want understanding and I want to know God better and better every time I interact with his word and with him directly in prayer as I listen and as I talk to him. So Psalm 33 begins and ends with trust. So let's jump in at verse 1. "Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth." Now, why should we sing praise to God? Well, because the word of the Lord holds true and we can trust everything he does. There's a transition word right there in verse 4, the word for, F-O-R. We sing and praise for or because, or this next part is the foundation for our singing and our praise. For the word of the Lord holds true and we can trust everything he does. Psalm 33 starts with trusting God in everything he does, and Psalm 33 ends with trusting God because of who he is. Verse 20, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." So let's go back to the beginning of this psalm and consider trusting what God does. If we follow the train of thought of the psalmist, he goes back to the very, very beginning to see what the Lord has done. Verse 6, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command." The word of the Lord holds true and we can trust everything he does. In the beginning, the word of the Lord created. The psalmist reminds us that Yahweh merely spoke and the heavens were created. And with a breath and a word, the stars were born. These things that we can rely on day in and day out, these things were brought into being by our God. And not only that, but with merely a spoken word. We don't have to wonder if today the stars will shine. We don't have to worry that the sky will fall. God spoke them into existence and set them in place, and there they stand. And not only did God create, he created boundaries that define and protect. We don't have to worry that the oceans will suddenly breach the shores and engulf the continents because he assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. And the psalmist, I don't think he had any idea. If you go to Google Earth, like earth.google.com, and when you first get there, you'll see the globe, the world just spinning. I want you to take in just how much of our earth is covered with the vast reservoirs of our oceans. Take in the whole earth and then declare in awe with the psalmist. "When he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command." We can trust what he does because he's our creator and designer, and his creation is good. And so when we consider the other activities that the psalmist highlights, the other activities of God, when we read verse 10, it says, "The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." when I take the bite of consulting an outside resource, in this case, I looked at my Reformation Study Bible, I gained clarity from the notes. I learned that the nations mentioned here are godless nations, nations who seek their own will and not God's. So God is trustworthy to thwart the schemes of godless nations, and we can trust that his plans and intentions will stand in eternity. And might I add that this means that God has plans and intentions? You know, he's in absolute control of history. And this may cause you to pause as you consider evil and horrors and injustice throughout history. But don't forget, these are a result of the schemes of godless and evil men. Our hope is in the trustworthiness of God. Our hope is in the knowledge that the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken, and we can trust everything he does. I don't want to skip verse 12. It says, "What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance." When you set yourself up against God, he will frustrate your schemes. But there is joy and an inheritance for the people of God. The psalmist goes on to talk about more activities of our trustworthy God. If we jump down to verse 13, it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do." You see, our God is all-knowing. He knows your heart, the pure parts and the impure parts. And what are the action words of these three verses? What is the Lord doing here? I'm in 13, 14, and 15. Well, first of all, he's looking down, which reminds us of his position. He's got a higher perspective. He's above it. He's looking down. He sees the whole human race. He's not ignoring the details. He sees, my friend, but he sees the whole. And it goes on to say it again. He observes all who live on the earth. Not just his own, but all. But where is he? Well, we've already determined he's in heaven, but he's on his throne. So not only does he have a position of higher perspective, but he's making his observations from a position of high authority. He is seated on his throne. He has not abdicated his position of supreme authority. And there are two more action words. He made and he understands. He made their hearts. Whose hearts? The hearts of the entire human race, all who live on the earth. He made your heart and he made my heart. He made the heart of the one who has been loyal to you and he made the heart of the one who betrayed you. He made and he understands. He made their hearts so he understands everything they do. He understands when we do not. He sees all the things we can't see. So whether he acts or holds back in a situation, you can trust everything he does because you can trust his perspective is higher and his position is higher. But what do we tend to trust? The government? Technology? Our mad skills? People you look up to? Let's heed the warning of the psalmist in verse 16. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. What an amazing God we have. I'm overcome with the truths that we are meditating on here. I've been sitting in this psalm for a while now. It's just hitting me afresh. How many times do the people and the things we trust fail us? How many times does the one you love and trust fail to read the room and maybe say something that hurts because they don't really see you? But God sees and God knows. After all, he made your heart, so he knows what will break it and he knows what will heal it. We trust in external things that seem to have power to save, but only our God can offer the salvation we really need. But don't fret, just keep reading, because saving you is his intention. Verse 18, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine." What are our action words here? What is it that God is doing that we can trust? He's watching, loving, rescuing, and keeping. The Lord watches over those who fear him. This brings with it this deep personal connotation, a protection. He doesn't just see, he watches over. But who does he watch over? Those who fear him. Not those who are afraid of him, but those who acknowledge his lordship and perspective and authority and have submitted their hearts and lives to him. Well, the psalmist says it. Those who rely on his unfailing love. rely. It's another trust type word. We can trust everything he does, and we can trust in, we can rely on his unfailing love. And when we do, we can rest assured that he is watching over us. But it's not a passive watching and loving. It's an active loving and watching. He rescues us from death, and he keeps us alive in times of famine. I believe this is true in the physical sense, but I 100% know it's forever true in the spiritual sense. If you're calling on him to rescue you or someone you love from physical death, he does that. But remember, he's higher and has a different perspective. He knows that it's eternity that's really important. So he's made a way through the sacrifice of his own son to rescue you from eternal death and separation from him. And while I live in the U.S. in 2021, I have yet to experience a physical famine. I have been in a spiritual famine, and he's kept me alive then too. I've felt dry and weary, like I might never recover, and he has rescued me from seasons of spiritual famine because I rely on his unfailing love. And that brings us to the end of our psalm. Our psalm begins and ends with the trustworthiness of God, but it also begins and ends with our response to his character and his conduct. In verse 20, it says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." We trust in his holy name. You see, God's names represent who he is. His names reveal to us his character and what kind of God he is. And while we don't see a bunch of names listed in this psalm, we see his names, we see his character played out in his actions that the psalmist chose to put in the lyrics of this psalm. So we see the word of the Lord holding true. Jesus is Logos, the word. We see the God of justice. We see that he is good. We see him as a God of unfailing love. In fact, we know that God is love. We see him as creator, as the King of Kings. We see him as El Roy, the God who sees. We see him as omniscient, all-knowing. He is revealed as rescuer. He's revealed as our hope and shield and our help. We can trust everything he does because we can trust who he is. We trust in his holy name. So what's next? Well, spend some time in Psalm 33 this week. You know, maybe listen to an audio version of it every morning and then choose a day or two to interact with the text. Consider what the psalm teaches us about the actions of God and the character of God. Ponder why his actions and his character should cause you to place your trust in him. And in the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat, or my public page on Facebook is Michelle L. Nezat. And let's talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network, a network of podcasts associated with New Release Today. NewReleaseToday.com is the most innovative and largest Christian entertainment site online, existing to inform fans immediately about each week's new releases. I'm super excited to be part of this network, and I hope you check out their resources online. Now, if you haven't joined the 30-Day Music Challenge yet, I highly recommend it. The challenge is to listen exclusively to Christian music for 30 days. You're never too late to jump in. Just submit your name and email address at michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge and you're in. Now, before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to thank my newest subscribers to my website, like Myra from Texas. Welcome. And new subscribers, by the way, benefit from a one-page resource of my top 5 bites. That's a gift to you. Also, I send an email once a week that includes all of the show notes for the week's episodes conveniently in your inbox, any extra resources that I create for my episodes from time to time, and a weekly memory verse. And all of that is just my way of saying thank you for listening. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. Now, have you had a chance to write a review in iTunes for the podcast yet? This encourages me, of course, but it also helps me stay visible to new listeners. And as always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. And I have a new tool to help you leave a review. Just go to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Of course, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, or you can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be using I Stand in Awe by Chris Tomlin and Nicole Serrano to jump into Scripture, Psalm 33, spoiler alert, but we're going to take a new take on it. If you liked this episode, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/397. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.